Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Anybody can quit. Anybody can give up. Anybody can sit down. But he's called you for something different. Amen. Colossians 3, 9 and 10. I want to read these to you. I'll let you sit down. Colossians 3, 9 through 10 says, "Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him." You can be seated. This sermon kind of started in my yard the other day. Due to scheduling, we hired a guy to mow our grass. And Doug, that feels so weak to me. But it's so awesome too. And the kid's out, and we were in the yard talking, and I said, "Hey man, when you gonna come church with me?" He went, nah. And I said, "Nah, what do you mean nah?" I said, "When you coming to church with me?" He said, "Man, he said, church ain't for me." And I said, "Well, then what's your take on everything? What's your worldview? What do you mean? Why you think we're here? What do you think's going on? Why were you born?" "Oh, no, man, don't get me wrong. He is my Lord and Savior." He said, "I believe in him, and he's my Lord and Savior." And I said, "Okay." And he says, "As a matter of fact, look here." And he pulled out a little Jesus-like figurine that he carried around in his pocket. So I'm kind of confused a little bit, you know? But then I got to thinking, how many people have that perception? "Oh, yeah, I want him to save me, but I'm not going to do anything for him, but carry him around in my pocket for when I need him." There's more to this, Sam, than just having him as our Savior. There's more to this than just him delivering you from the flames of hell. There's more to this. The reason we come to church is very specific. I need more of him. Or let me rephrase that. He needs more of me. He's gave all to me that he can give, but he needs more of me. The reason I come to church is to give him more of me. I know he's my Savior, but I can't stop there. Amen? He says, in the knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Genesis 1 and 6. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." He said, "Let us make man after our image, after our likeness, and give him dominion." Image, likeness, dominion. Image, likeness, dominion. The only way that we have dominion is if we have likeness and image. When we lose image and we lose likeness, we will lose dominion. Let me prove it to you. Adam sinned. And when Adam sinned, he marred the image. God had created Adam in his image. The best way to put this is when God spoke everything into existence, it came into existence. But God formed man in his own image. So picture this. God is forming man. Everything else is spoken. But God is forming man in his image. He is creating man to look like him. He is forming him to look like him, to be in his image. I really believe this is why the devil hates you. I believe it's why the devil hates mankind, because mankind was made in the image of God. And usually when you have a problem with somebody's daddy, you have a problem with them. He was made in the image of God. Being in the image of God, Adam was self-sufficient. He was perfect. He had everything that he needed. Image, he was perfect. Character, he was perfect. In functionality, he was perfect. Adam was perfect because he was made in the image of God. Gary, once he sinned, that image was marred. Once that image became marred, he was removed from his place of dominion. Do you see the connection? I look at this people of this world and they feel like living in sin and living outside of the realm of connection with God gives them freedom. But I've noticed something. I've watched. It does nothing. It gives them no freedom at all, but it brings them chaos. Because God is not the author of confusion, but everything outside of God works its way to confusion. It works its way to chaos. Can you say amen? In sin, it just ends in pure chaos. I see people, oh, I'm free. I don't have to live the way you have to live. I don't have to do all of that. You have no clue in the direction you are heading, because you have no power over where you're heading, because you have no dominion, because you have no likeness, and you have no image. God created man in his image. He wanted a replica of him on earth. So that again, God resided in heaven. He wanted a replica of him on earth. He wanted to look to the earth and be able to see something that reflected him. And everything is going good. So good. Adam had such dominion that God brought all the animals to him and said, name them, and whatever you call them, that's what we're going to call them. I don't know exactly what he called them. Don't know it. You say, oh, he called them giraffe. No, he didn't. He didn't speak English. Surely he didn't name something a hippopotamus. But we've translated into, but Adam had such intellect. Now, listen to this, that I believe he was so in tune with God that what Adam named those animals is the exact thing that God would have named them if he named them. So God needed a vessel. He wanted a vessel that would image him, that would reflect him, and that he could communicate with. Oh, this is good if we get this. Sin messed all of that up. And when sin messed all of that up, it marred image. And because it marred image, it marred dominion. Adam now has to be removed from the garden where he reigned king, where he was put as the overseer, and it was his place of dominion. God now has to move Adam out of that spot, and a curse comes with that. Darren, I try to teach people imputed righteousness, and it is very difficult to preach fallen people imputed righteousness. When I tell you that you don't get part of Jesus' righteousness, you get all of it. And I tell you, listen, you are just as righteous as Jesus. That messes with their thinking a little bit. But if I tell you that Adam sinned, and because Adam sinned, you're born a sinner, and there is imputed sin, you believe that part. I know, because of Adam, I'm a sinner, I believe that. And I say, but because of Jesus, you're righteous, but not as righteous I'm kind of on the left. Now, let me tell you, when he imputed his righteousness to you, he made you just as righteous as he is. Now, I walk in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Why do I feel compelled to tell you this? Because when you understand who you are and whose image you are walking in, you will operate in dominion again. I know it's not Father's Day. I know it's not, but some of you dads need to start exercising dominion in your families. Why? Because there is a devil out there that's trying to put things in your kids where God has put you in domain over. And it's your responsibility to understand the image of God and where the family is supposed to be. And when you walk in that image, you pass that on. And then we work as a family in dominion. Now, when families come to church walking in dominion, we got a church of families walking in dominion. Then we have a church family walking in dominion. And I'm going to tell you, hell gets nervous when you get that kind of attitude. It's about likeness. It's about character. It's about functioning like God. See, I missed it. I've missed it in my early years of Christianity. I made statements like this. Hey, you know what? Being a Christian don't mean you let people walk on you. And people say, amen, amen, amen. It's awful funny. Because to be a Christian means to be like Christ. And well, preacher, I tell you, there's that one time he took that whip. One time? You've whipped way more than one time in your life. And besides, he's Jesus. He's Jesus. See, okay, yeah, Darren said, go ahead, so this is on him. I was so tore up about the generation that I was trying to serve that I was looking like making sure I wasn't like them that I forgot what the real goal was. You follow me? Y'all with me? I was so caught up like, I don't want to be that. I definitely don't want to be that. And I don't want to be that. Well, there's a lot of things that we ought not to be. But the goal is to not look at what we ought not to be. The goal is to look at what we should be. The goal is to be the image of God on this earth. Jason, right now, he's my Lord and Savior, and one day I'm going to get to heaven, and then I'm going to bear his image when you get to heaven. Why would he need you to bear his image in heaven if he's there bearing his own image in heaven? He needs you bearing his image while you're here on earth right now. Don't wait till you get there to say, I want to bear your image. Bear his image right now. Be his agent right now. Be his ambassador right now. Walk in dominion right now. Raise your hand if you're a procrastinator. Raise your hand if you're such a procrastinator, you said you'd raise your hand tomorrow. Procrastinators meeting, we meet tomorrow. Procrastination, I'm learning, is a result sometimes of perfectionism. So raise your hand again if you're a procrastinator. It may be because you're a perfectionist. And you know, it's a psychology. I'll tell you, we'll get to this in a minute. Let me decode you first. This is a free session. Because what you do is you look at the task and you say, I don't have the time to get it exactly the way I want it. So I'm going to put it off until I get that time. Now, how many people that raised your hand and said you procrastinate, how many of you would say that happens in your mind a lot? Well, here's what you have heard. Be ye perfect as God is perfect. Be ye holy as God is holy. And you look at that task and you know what you say? I can't do it. So you know what you do in your Christian walk? You procrastinate. What you do is you say, I'll get better tomorrow. I'll exercise dominion tomorrow. I'll take over the situation tomorrow. I'll make sure that I'm walking in truth tomorrow. I'll do this later. And we keep putting this off and putting it off because we don't think we can meet the task. Well, the task that he has called you to do, be perfect, he has already covered that for you and given you his righteousness. So now you are already made perfect in him. You couldn't do it anyway, so he gave it to you. Now, Thomas, that I have been given his righteousness, I have a responsibility to walk in dominion as an honor to him who gave me his righteousness. You become who you look up to. Say it again. You become who you look up to. You got two little boys. You ever let them watch movies at home? Marvel movies, any of that kind of stuff? What happens after they watch Spider-Man? They climb the walls, he said. As soon as the movie's over, here they come. Nothing shooting anywhere, but man, they're Spider-Man. I don't know what movie I had these two little neighbor kids one time. I'll never forget this. I don't know what movie they were watching, but them boys came running out of the house, two of them, and one of them said, you be the bad guy now, and I'll be the big-headed ninja. I was like, he didn't even care. You look at it, you watch it, and then you want to imitate it. I don't know, are girls the same way? What, they want to be Spider-Man too? And that's how we got all this mess, women Spider-Mans. I don't know. Somebody watches it and looks at it, and watch this. Moses went up on the mountain. When Moses went up on the mountain, he talked to God for 40 days. And you know how he talked to him? Face to face. Image to image. And Moses came down, and there's a mess down in the valley. And he's talking to Aaron. He's trying to figure out what's going on. And y'all know the story. If you don't know the story, Aaron's like, man, you're not going to believe this. We took this gold, threw it into the fire. This golden cow hopped out. You're right, Aaron. I'm not going to believe that. He takes the tablets and he breaks them. Watch this. Watch this. Moses goes back up on the mountain for another 40 days. Something happened the second time that didn't happen the first time. See, being in the presence of God, listen, this is why we come to church. I need to be in his presence more and more and more because that brings me into likeness. And that likeness brings me to dominion. So Moses goes up on the mountain the second time. And when he comes down, he don't even know. Oh, y'all hear me? He don't even know what happened up there this time. He just knows he was up there talking to God. And when he came down, they couldn't hardly look at him. Something had took place. Listen to what took place. The image of God had begun to reflect itself so great off of the image of Moses that his face shone about them. And he didn't even know what was going on. But they couldn't look at it. How do you get that? Get in the presence of God so that he can reflect from you. So much that they put a veil over his face. It was so bright The reflection was so great. Any questions? By being in the presence of God, it began to change Moses into the image of God. See, we have tried to be like Jesus. Good luck. Good luck. You think you, outside of Jesus, could be like Jesus? He never asked us to. He just said, be conformed to the of the Son. Conforming to the image of the Son. Some people act like Christians. Some people are Christian. There's a difference. Amen. Some people want to be like Jesus. Some people radiate the reflection of his image. What's the difference? The difference is him. The difference is surrendering. The difference is submission. The difference is walking in relationship. The difference is when you get with him and he becomes your fascination, then he becomes the glory. And I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to see what he looks like, because he said, when we see him, we shall be like him. How are we going to be like him? Because we've got to get in his presence so that he can radiate from us. Why is this important? Because every prayer service you miss, you're missing an opportunity to get in his presence and become more like him and exercise more dominion. There's something to it. Because boy, when you're separated from him, you start losing power. When I'm not in his presence, when I'm not praying, when I'm not studying, when worship comes around and I'm indifferent, I might worship. I might worship Sunday, but it's Wednesday. I'm tired and the Lord understands. Yeah, he understands. He carried a cross up a hill for you after being dehydrated and beaten. And he understands you're tired because you worked 6 hours. Well, I drove 15 minutes. He completely understands. I love what Vodi Bachman said. He said, people are like, well, you know, I don't think the Lord would want me unhappy. He said, oh, yeah, you. He wouldn't want you unhappy. He took his son, put him on a cross, beat him mercilessly, without any mercy. He said, crucified him, put him in a tomb, but you he wouldn't want unhappy. It's not always going to be rainbows. But, man, if we get this, and when people have conversations with us, what do you do? Coal miner. What do you do?
Own a business.
What do you do?
Go to college.
What do you do?
Order a boycott.
What do you do?
Listen to you.
I hope he's at the altar. What do you do?
Anesthesia.
What do you do?
Construction.
You see what our identity is in? I didn't ask one person what their profession was. I said, what do you do? It don't matter. It don't. If they blame it on you because you said coal miner, they would have started. Now, this test has been done by me before. You know what we identify with? Our profession. That's not our purpose. What our profession is should be an avenue to where we can do what we do. And what we do should be show the image of God to this world, because I'm filled with the Spirit and that's what I do. But how do you put that on a business card? Hey, I'm Damon, and I show people the image of God. And I'm trying to be, I mean, how do you put that? What do you put on the card? You don't put it on a card. You put it into action. Amen. Come on, Aaron, I think I'm done. I got more verses, but. The Spirit of God abides in me. He filled me with His Spirit. The old man has been crucified. I've been raised to walk in the newness of life. I have a privilege that He's given me to walk in dominion. But when I lose image, I lose dominion. You know what's wild about this concept? You can have a certain image of somebody. Like when I say their name, you've got an image. You think about what kind of person they are. Donald Trump. Joe Biden. Jim Carrey. You automatically, do you not? You come up with an image of that person. A person can have an image in your mind for years and years and years and years and years, and they do one thing. And it can completely destroy their image in your mind. Am I right? You know what the devil's trying to do to the church? The church has done so much right. And the devil's trying to find ways to destroy the image of the church. But if the image of the church is not the image of the church, but the image of the church is the image of the one who created the church, then the devil can't destroy that. He can't destroy it. There's no way he can stop that. So what's the purpose, preacher? What'd you preach this to us for? Because this week I want to challenge you to spend more time in his presence so that he can reflect more from you this week so that he can exercise dominion in your life where he needs to exercise dominion. Rebuke that devil. Rebuke that devil. Rebuke that devil. You run around rebuking devils everywhere. Devil in my blender, you come out. Devil in my transmission, you get out of there. Anybody ever rebuke the devil like that? No? Come on. It's okay. Look at him. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. There are gears in certain things that break down, and there's no devil involved in any of that. Sin's involved in it. Definitely sin. Because everything's breaking down because of sin, right? The law of thermodynamics started at sin. Friction, heat breaks everything down. No devil involved. It's just going to break down. But sometimes we're rebuking the devil when really what we need to do is radiate Jesus. So I don't want to just say he's my Savior. And I'm okay with that. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to preach on this for months probably. I don't think I'm going to get away from this for a while. Because then we understand our purpose is here on earth right now. And then we're not praying, Lord, just take me. Because we know we got a purpose here. And man, if we get this right, we're going to tear this area upside down. Because then we're not just happy we're going to heaven. We're making things happen on earth for the kingdom of God. I don't need to be like him when I get to heaven. He's there. He's the image there. I need to be like him right here, right now, so that people can see him. As I sing this song, if you need prayer, we want to pray with you. If you need to change your heart, would you come and kneel at the altar? Just kneel down so we'll know that you're surrendering, and we'll pray with you that way. If you need prayer, just come up. We want to pray with you. We do this every service because we want to give God an opportunity to touch you before you leave. Let's stand.